FavyMat and single fiber testing. So I'll let him talk about the tedious.
Yeah, apparently this is an afternoon of tediousness after a morning of NIR, or early afternoon. We're actually kind of lucky that John actually probably was one of the first ones to work with Cotton in the FavyMat. And I've picked his brain over the last year and a half as we've developed it. And my co-authors, Leon Swee and Devron Thibodeau, are two of the more experienced Cotton researchers on doing single fiber testing on the Mantis instrument, which has been out of production 15 years, 10 years, Devron, at least. And so it's good to have them around as resources to look at the newer instruments against and in conjunction with. Eric was talking about the FavyMat. As we said, it's a single fiber tester. It's mainly is put forth as measuring tenacity. Of it. As a function of that, it measures elongation as you're measuring the breaking force and the linear density via the vibroscopic measurement. It also measures crimp, which is sort of a not very well explored area of Cotton. And that's because this instrument actually was developed for the synthetic industry, where crimp is a little bit more predictable. As a function of testing single fibers and breaking the fibers, it also measures breaking force and work to break, as Eric was talking about. It has constant rate of extension head, so if you're familiar with an Instron or universal testing type instrument, that is what this essentially is, just a very, very small one with a 210 centnewton load cell as opposed to an Instron, which usually ranges from 2 newtons to tens of hundreds of thousands. Again, it measures linear density by the vibroscopic principle, which, if you're not familiar with that, talked about it last year. You vibrate the fiber at a frequency, changing the frequency while holding the tension constant until the fiber actually resonates at the natural frequency. And there's some lovely physics you can calculate your fineness. And again, it has an optical scanning head, which it uses to both observe the vibration and to measure the crimps. This is actually what the instrument looks like, for those who aren't familiar. Most people who are in this room are probably familiar with it, including my operator over there. As Eric said, it's incredibly tedious. I have done it, but then we hired Holly, and she does it for 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. What we have here is this is the actual measuring chamber. These two slightly hard to see silver spots are the knobs that adjust tension on the clamp, and this assembly over here is the robot, which basically the operator can preload fibers into the magazines while the instrument tests, which increases the efficiency of the instrument quite a bit. On a good day, if we're doing the full range of tests, vibroscopic measurement and all, 300 to 400 fibers a day, 8 hours. In talking to Devron and Leon back with the Mantis, what was a good day? Leon said, 1,000. That's, well, that's a bit different. But if you take out the vibroscope, which takes a little bit of time, we can get up to about 800 a day if everything cooperates. Still not exactly effective. The Cottons we're looking at, we don't have quite the luxury of Eric's reference set, so we looked at a set of what's known as 8x8 Cottons for the HVI. These are a set of 8 Cottons that contain a wide range of values as measured by the HVI, while not being too extreme. We measured approximately 1,000 fibers per Cotton. Good fibers, like I said, if everything's cooperating. To get that 1,000 is around 1,200 fibers usually. We did the initial linear density, which one of the interesting things, if you looked at Eric's slide, talks about the pretension. The pretension is a function of its centnewtons per tex. So it's a base. You base it on the linear density of the fiber, which you're trying to measure. So you have to know a value to give it. There's a couple ways to approach that. One way is to actually run it on the APHIS and take the mean value, or just pick a published value for Cotton on average, which is around 1.7 decitex. Seems to be what a Hob Rainey back way back before me came up with. What we did is use gravimetric, and I'll go into a little bit more detail as to how we did the gravimetric method, but that's where you actually cut and weigh fibers. And again, it's tedious. We did a 13 millimeter gauge length for the full test. I talked about last year, we did the 10 millimeter that's recommended, and about 20% of our data consistently fell out of a normal distribution. At 13 millimeters, that problem went away. We also did 1/8 inch, which is 3.2 millimeters, which is what Eric was talking about. We used the 4 millimeter clamps instead of the 2 millimeter clamps. We tried the 2 millimeter clamps, and they kept breaking after a couple hundred fibers, and that got a little expensive. And so we said, okay, the 4 millimeters are staying intact. We'll go with the 4 millimeter. We also looked at these fibers via APHIS using 5 reps, 5,000 fibers per rep per cotton, and HVI data, 5 combs per cotton instead of the standard classing method of averaging 2 combs. As I said, the gravimetric, what we did is we prepared 5 stylometer bundles, and we did it a couple different ways, but this is the data I'm talking about today. We had our technicians prepare 5 stylometer bundles, clamp them into the stylometer, and cut them along the fiber, and then count out 300 fibers from each bundle and weigh that. And again, we did that 5 times for each cotton, and that was fun. And we fed that data in as the initial linear density. Now, the machine tests several attributes. Fineness. We can compare that to the gravimetric method, which is slow and tedious, and many of us receive samples from John working with ASTM on that for flax, and Krista will hold them down, and you can come and get them. And we also compared it to the APHIS, which is faster, but there's a lot of questions about APHIS and its measurement of fineness, and we're not going to go there today. One of the issues, though, is the fibroscopic measurement is not a direct measurement. It assumes a lot of things, such as that it's uniform along its length, and if anyone knows anything about cotton, uniform it is not. It also assumes that it's got a constant cross-section that approaches a circle, and it doesn't. And the cell wall isn't consistent, so that's a number of issues. Also, you can compare it to a visual method, which is what the Mantis used to do, which is also how the APHIS does. Provides an average and is probably a little bit better, or you could just go ahead and cross-section them a couple million times like Eric. But I think Holly might quit if I ask her to do that. If we look at strength, we're comparing to the HVI and also to the stylometer. Eric presented a whole bunch of HVI data. We're not. We're going to present stylometer, so at least you're not going to see the same thing. The issues there, gauge length and rate of extension, and also that we're looking at bundle versus single. Stylometer and HVI are at 1/8 of an inch. Presley's at 0. And if you're doing 10 or 13 millimeters, well, that's your gauge length. And there's a huge issue of bundle versus single, as Eric talked about. And then elongation, again, there's HVI and stylometer. HVI is not calibrated for. Stylometer has a little bit more control for it. But again, here we have an issue of both the gauge length and the rate of extension. With elongation, obviously gauge length plays function of it because elongation is a percent of your gauge length. So if we look at our fineness data for average fineness for 1,000 fibers via Fabimat, 25,000 fibers for APHIS, and 1,500 fibers for gravimetric. The first thing you notice is APHIS and gravimetric are surprisingly in the same ballpark, and gravimetric isn't, or Fabimat isn't. And if you looked at Eric's slides, he was around that same mean value of about 220 millitecs or 2.2 decitecs, depending on where you move the decimal place. For strength, you hear we have 13 millimeter and 1/8 inch via Fabimat versus HVI and stylometer. You'll notice for 1/8 inch, we're roughly double what stylometer is, and that is actually expected. If you go back to the Mantis data from both Devron and Leon, that's about what they saw. At 13 millimeters, it's not that. At 1/8, it is, and that again, points out there's an issue with the gauge length. If you look at the correlations, again, this is very similar to what Eric was showing. We get this is against stylometer, not against HVI, however. The top slide, the top line is the red graph, that's 1/8 inch. And although it's about that 2-to-1 function, you get that R square of about 0.55, which isn't stellar, but does look like what we expected from the historic data that Devron and Leon have collected. At 13 millimeters, you do get a very good correlation, as Eric showed. In our case, we're getting R-square about 0.85, which with cotton, I'll take that day in and day out. If you look at the distribution, as Eric said, it's not exactly normal. This is at 13 millimeter gauge length for 2 different cottons. Our weakest cotton is the red cotton. Our strongest cotton is the one in blue. It's normal-ish, but certainly not normal, but you know, it's encouraging that at least the data looks like it might actually be right. Again, elongation, gauge length plays a role in it. And it's not just accounted by just a function of the gauge length. Stylometer and 1/8 inch, though, you again have that relationship there that just keeps cropping up its head. Again, here, if you look at the 1/8 inch gauge length at the top in the red, we got an R square of 0.91, which, again, I'll take that day in and day out. Now, again, that's for 1/8 inch. We have a better relationship elongation at 1/8 inch between instruments than we did at force. For braking strength, the 13 millimeters correlated better with the stylometer, and I'm not going to try to explain that today. R square 13 millimeters wasn't horrible. Not great, but not horrible. And again, if you look at the elongation distribution, still not normal, but normal-ish, which with cotton, that's often what you expect to see. Because braking strength is a function of tenacity, and that means in the case of 13 millimeters, it was normalized, the braking force was normalized by the linear density measured by the machine, and in the case of 1/8 inch, it was normalized by the gravimetric result for the fibers. Work to break and braking force, like I was talking about, braking force is direct measurement. That's obviously, if you have a thicker fiber, you're going to expect a stronger, all things being equal, that's going to have a higher braking force. That's why we normalize it to tenacity. But work to break is really area under the curve, and elongation plays a major role there. And you can see the relationship between the 13 millimeter data and the 1/8 inch data. And the braking force is consistently higher at 1/8 inch than 13 millimeter. So basically, what does this tell us? Single fiber testing is incredibly tedious, but it may provide useful information to breeders and others using very small samples. You know, if you're talking about 1,000 fibers, 2,000 fibers, this is not a half a gram of material. This is not a tenth of a gram of material quite often. And a lot of times, as Eric has pointed out year after year, breeders come to you with a little tiny pouch and say, what is it? And we can tell them, well, it's cotton, and that's it. So single fiber does give us some more single fiber testing gives us more information that we can tell them. It correlates well with stylometer, but there's a lot of parameters that have to be worked out, and there's just a lot more testing that has to be done. And it's never really going to be a standard day in, day out method simply because it is incredibly tedious and time consuming. Like I said, there's a lot of parameters that need to be investigated. The rate of extension, different papers use different rates of extension. Different instruments have used different rates of extension. The gauge length is a major issue, and the pretension. If you're doing, even if you're just doing the braking test, the pretension does play a major role in this. And then again, there's number of observations. Is 300 fibers enough? Is 150 fibers enough? Is 1,000 fibers enough? Is 10,000 fibers enough? It's cotton. It's variable. That's a great question. Again, I'd like to thank the technicians at Clemson for doing some stylometer testing for us, because it's tedious as well, and I can't thank Holly enough for doing thousands upon thousands of single fiber tests. And that's what I got for you.